Welcome to Open Ear Audio. This program is about Communication Workers of America Local 14177 and the experiences of its members at the New Era Cap Company's plant in Derby, New York. New Era was founded in Derby by the Cook family 80 years ago. In 1997, the workers at the Derby, New York plant affiliated with the CWA. Currently, Local 14177 is on strike. The AFL-CIO has approved a nationwide boycott of New Era products, and the CWA has filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board over New Era's failure to bargain in good faith. The Workers' Rights Consortium, an independent monitoring organization that works to ensure apparel bearing school logos is manufactured under the code of conduct adopted by member colleges and universities, will soon be releasing a report on their investigation into the New Era Cap Company. At the end of the program, you'll find contact information for organizations involved in CWA Local 14177's struggle. In March of 2001, a delegation of six United Students Against Sweatshop affiliates visited New York to listen to workers and to gather information about working conditions in New Era facilities. In the next hour, you'll hear excerpts of conversations with members of Local 14177, the director of CWA District 1, an attorney representing Local 14177, and United Students Against Sweatshop's Midwest Regional Organizer. CWA Local 14177 was formed after workers decided that their independent union wasn't sufficiently representing their interests. Before the affiliation with CWA, workers were threatened by the Cook family and New Era. Afterwards, they faced retaliation for exercising their rights. While standing outside of the Derby New Era plant, I spoke with Jane Howald, the president of CWA Local 14177.
My name is Jane Howell. I'm president of CWA Local 14177, representing workers at New Era Cap Company in Derby, New York.
Since we're piecework, it's all repetitive motion. Out of our officers, two of us have had surgeries, actual surgeries. I had a carpal tunnel bilateral, that means both hands. My hands completely went numb. We have a high incidence of that. Most people that do go out have surgery. We have carpal tunnel injuries. Our steward had a ruptured disc in her neck. She's going to be permanently disabled for the rest of her life with about 20% loss of strength in her arms and stuff. We have shoulder injuries. Our vice president had a rotator cuff tear injury, which is, you know, you see that in football players, not women that sew hats. The company started an ergonomics program in the last year or so, but will it help the people that have been here for 15, 20 years? I don't know, because once the body's injured, it's really hard to fix. Most of us walk around in pain. If the company lets you in, you'll see that they all have bandages on. They get wrapped up with ace bandages to do their job. It's almost like it's the 1910s in there with the way they look. So hopefully the company will let you in. Ever since we affiliated, we've been constantly threatened with losing our jobs, constantly threatened with, because of the affiliation, we're going to pull out of here. And in the course of negotiating a contract, we haven't reached settlement yet. The company has stonewalled us. They've fired employees. They've disciplined employees. They've just not dealt with us in good faith, in my opinion. We have no pension plan. People with over 30 years will walk out without any money in their pocket. Unfortunately, probably be crippled because of the repetitive motion injury. Our medical, we pay for most of our medical. The company has not offered any substantial increases. We're piecework, which is almost barbaric in these days, but we're piecework. And what they want to do is institute an engineered study. And based on the study and our people, what we've done is looked at how much they do and how much they could do. It'll reduce their wages by anywhere from $3 to $6 to whatever. Almost 77% of the employees would lose money. When the average wage is $12 and you want to reduce it $3, you're down to below poverty with a family of four. So one guy's losing $5.28 an hour times 40 is over $200 a week. Some of these people could lose $16,000 a year out of maybe a $28,000 income or a $30,000 income. So they're not guaranteed that the jobs will be here. They're not guaranteed that the jobs are going to stay. They're not even guaranteeing they're going to put work in here so those people could even do the numbers, which we approached at the bargaining table. We said in order for these people to do the numbers, you have to put a lot more work in, and they wouldn't guarantee even that. The company is starving us to death. They put in maybe 600 dozen one day, 100 dozen the next, and these people are sitting for a couple of hours at a time or up to an hour or whatever with no work to do, and they have to write on their sheet time out. When they do that, it reflects at the end of the week. Although you make $12 an hour, it only shows that you only did maybe a dollar's worth of product. So in the long run, it shows that you're not doing any product and you're getting paid, so it looks like you're not efficient enough or whatever. But in October of last year, when New York Yankees were in the World Series, they put New York Yankees through our plant. We put out over 10,000 dozen in 1 week. And we were averaging around 2,500 a day. So if the product's in this plant, these people have produced, but this company's not doing that. So they're just making us look bad to use it as an excuse to pull out, when in fact, my opinion is they're doing it because of the union. We had four issues when we walked away from the bargaining table last, was the fact that they won't grandfather the senior employees if they've been here 30 years and can't do this new standard. The company's response is they're going to progressively discipline them. And progressively discipline them means basically they're going to lose their jobs. And most of these people that they're targeting that can't do the standard have been long-term employees, have really supported the company, and actually didn't support the union. So here we are at a bargaining table fighting the hardest for the people that the company always used, in my opinion, to try to bust unions. And yet the company won't even bend at all on this. They won't. So there's four issues. It's grandfathering the senior employees, not to reduce our wages so drastically, not move the plant completely out of here, and to put work in here so the people can do the standard. I've been here 17 years. I've tried to organize with four different unions. Every time they'd stand up and say, we're a family-run shop, don't bring in a union here, we'll take care of you. Well, you see how they're taking care of these people. They never did, in my opinion, to begin with. But as far as relationships, they're not worse. We work with the company. We work hand in hand. The only time we do fight with them is when there's a fight that's brought to us by our members, such as the blocking issue. A blocking is a department that the company put in new machinery and in the middle of a contract changed the rates of pay. Well, that's illegal, and we won the contract fight on that. But other than relations, we haven't had a grievance filed since a discharge of over a year ago, and then we subsequently dropped it based on our investigation. We work with the company on production meetings. We sit in every day. We work on transitional work program, which is the injured employees. So as far as working with them, we've brought ourselves up about five pegs by the education of CWA, but the company just adamantly does not like the fact that there's a union here. It was the independent union that the company used to work with doesn't belong here anymore, because they don't even meet with us. The cooks don't even sit at a bargaining table with us. They never have. And they send in a guy that was hired 6 months ago to work with us. So that's pretty bad. That's not committed to the community. He lives in Grand Island or something like that. So I'd really like this company to recognize us, that all we're here is just trying to get the respect of workers everywhere. You know, a fair, decent wage. We don't have a pension. I'm 42 years old. I'd like to get a pension before the end of this year from this company. They said it's out of the cards, although it's a multi-million-dollar company. I'd hope they'd treat us decent without the fear of constantly losing your job, the fear of trying to break this union all the time and just deal with us one-on-one, you know, respectfully.
Dave Palmer, the director of CWA District 1, commented on his hopes for Local 14177's struggle.
My name is Dave Palmer. I'm the Upstate New York, New England Area Director for the Communication Workers of America. Our members at New Era are part of the printing sector of CWA and have come to the National Union to ask for our support in their struggle with the New Era Cap company. What's happening at the New Era really is a classic union-busting scenario, where the employer is willing to take on the union through the National Labor Relations Board and the court system associated with that, in an effort to bust the union. And the reality, unfortunately, is that the labor laws of the U.S. are not in labor's favor. And what will happen in this scenario is we will go through a long, drawn-out court proceeding, which could take 2 to 3 years to settle. And unfortunately, by the end of that time, normally the company's done what they want to do. And the only thing that they're liable for really is possibly some damages, but monetary damages. But by then, the company's already moved. I think the key in a struggle like this is getting a coalition together that includes not only organized labor, but the communities and the religious organizations in the community. If employers in Western New York can understand that all they need to do is put pressure on the employees, roll back wages to a 10-year level, we're going to be in deep trouble. In my opinion, what the student movement can do now is the same thing that the student movement did in the late 60s. There's been about a 30-year drought in activism, at least in my opinion anyway, on the college campuses in the United States. It's refreshing to me to see that there are organizations like the USAS that is starting to mobilize the student population and understand what the problems are in the workforce. I do believe that if we're going to be successful, we have to get our young individuals involved in the labor struggles. USAS has been helpful here. I believe the students can be successful at their universities in spreading the word on exactly what's happening in sweatshop conditions both here in the U.S. and abroad. If we can bring this thing in successfully, I think this is only the first step for the type of power that we can work in a coalition between labor and the student movement. I'm hoping that's the way it works out.
Mark Pierce, an attorney representing CWA Local 14177, spoke with me about the legal battles the local has been forced to fight.
I'm Mark Pierce. I'm an attorney representing unions in the Buffalo area, and I represent the CWA, both the national as well as the local 14177 that represents the employees at New Era Cap in the Derby facility. I've been working with both unions dealing with the labor relations at New Era Cap for at least 3 years. I first got involved in their controversies with an unfair labor practice charge filed with the National Labor Relations Board, an agency that prior to coming with my law firm I worked for 15 years. We had litigation before an administrative law judge because the CWA attempted to affiliate with the independent union at the Buffalo facility and was met with unfair labor practices engaged in by New Era Cap because they were enemies of the CWA. They didn't want the CWA in their facility. They regretted having the CWA at the Derby facility, and they were going to take all efforts to try to keep them from going into the Buffalo facility. They employed such conduct as hiring buses and giving people time off to vote no in the affiliation election. And when I say affiliation, that means an opportunity for those employees that are currently union members of the independent union to have that union merge with the CWA. That is an internal union matter, generally something that should not be interfered with at all by an employer. But this employer took it upon themselves to, as I say, hire buses, print out vote no buttons, give people time off from their job, which would not have affected their pay rate, in order to vote against the CWA. They also suspended one individual who was active in support of the CWA, suspended her for 3 days because of her endorsement of the CWA and her attempt to get employees to vote yes in that election. We were fortunate before the administrative law judge to have prevailed in most of our allegations. The administrative law judge found that it was unlawful for the employer to have suspended this individual because of her union activities. They found that it was unlawful for the company to unduly interfere in the election by providing the buses and the breaks in pay in order to induce people to vote against the CWA. The administrative law judge found it unlawful for the employer to threaten employees' jobs if they voted for the CWA. Regrettably, this is a case that is a very protracted nature. It's currently on appeal to the National Labor Relations Board in Washington. It has been in that state for about 2.5 years. Now, additionally, with the Derby facility, we were successful in an arbitration before an arbitrator under the collective bargaining agreement, getting back wages to employees in the blocking department. The blocking department is the crew of individuals that shape the baseball caps that are made at New Era Cap. these blocking department employees were unilaterally subjected to a change in their wage structure contrary to the collective bargaining agreement on the claim that there have been new innovations in the blocking equipment, therefore it justified the employer ignoring the collective bargaining agreement and changing their wage structure. Fortunately, we were able to persuade the arbitrator that that was unlawful and a contract violation. The result was approximately $20,000 in wages being reimbursed to these employees. The response of the company was vindictive. They unilaterally changed practices regarding timeouts given to employees in order to produce their product. They wrapped up machinery, deferred work, sent work down to their non-union facilities in Albany. They announced that they would no longer initiate certain product lines within the Derby facility, and they threatened to move a particular phase of the operation called cutting, the first stage of the structure of a baseball cap. They threatened to move that first phase out of that facility, which would essentially have been the death knell to that facility. What we did in response was to file charges with the National Labor Relations Board alleging these blatant unfair labor practices in retaliation for the union being successful at their grievance arbitration. The National Labor Relations Board found that the employer not only violated the National Labor Relations Act by unilaterally discontinuing certain practices, but they violated the act when the employer, within a week of the arbitration decision, decided to lay off for a half day the majority of the plant on the pretense that there was too much absenteeism. These matters currently had been settled during the course of the negotiations, and the issue of the layoff of these individuals for the half day is being placed before an arbitrator to determine the lawfulness of it. It has been a continual battle with this company, as if the company has not ever gotten used to the fact that the CWA is representing the employees and they were going to be acting independent of the company's influence. It is regrettable because what has happened is that the company continues through subtle efforts to try to undermine the CWA. CWA has been responsible for doing a lot of things that benefited the company's business. It has offered to provide opportunity for other unions to purchase caps made by New Era Cap, because New Era Cap, a union facility, is a facility that whose products that other unions would be desirous of. The company has rebuffed these offers. They had no interest in getting business from unions because they don't want to deal with unions. They went so far as to refuse to put union made in any of their caps because they didn't want to send that kind of message to the public. The present negotiations have been extremely frustrating. The union has been bargaining without any kind of benefits gained. They've been concession bargaining when there has been no economic reasons for them to have to do so, but the employer is seeking a lower and lower wage structure for these employees who currently are working below the wage standards in the Buffalo area. Their objective, I believe, is to bust the CWA, and it's regrettable that in the wake of this company's abuse of these employees. You're leaving people that are middle-aged who are devoted between 5 and 25 years of blood, sweat, and tears to this company, and abandoning them, leaving them with carpal tunnel, tendonitis, and various and sundry other ailments, so that they can pack up, reap the economic benefits of the concessions given by southern municipalities, and have a new workforce to continue to abuse. To what end? We suspect that the end will be that these products will eventually go overseas and be produced in Southeast Asia. But it is our hope, through the efforts of the CWA and through whatever counsel that I can continue to provide, that we will raise the consciousness of those people in the United States that wear these caps and think that they're wearing them with pride because it's union-made, to be aware that the kind of tactics that they're using against American workers, there has to be an accounting for.
In the next 20 minutes, we'll hear from Carmela Crone and Debbie Shattuck, two workers who have dedicated years of their life to New Era.
My name is Carmela Crone. I work at New Era. I've been there for 14 years in April. I sew the middle pieces into the cap that are like on the sides of the cap. I put them in. When I receive the order, it comes down a conveyor belt. When it comes to me, I have to take the box off the belt, and the order comes to me in front, backs, and middles. There are peaks in the box, but I have nothing to do with the peaks. My job is to, I put the fronts on the table, I put the backs on the table, and I put the middles on the table. When you put the middles on, they come as right, wrong. So I have to flip, and then I have to flop. You know, when I'm done, I have to snip these hats apart, put them in the box, lift the box up, put it on the belt to go down to the next department. I had back surgery. I had a ruptured disc, which I cannot come right out and say it was New Era's fault, because the day I woke up with the injury in my bed. But the doctor had said, at that point I was there like 5 years, he said, because we didn't have chairs that swivel, we had chairs that were just stationary. We would stack the work up next to us, and I had to turn, you know, to go down into the box. He told me after doing that for 5 years, he said, more than likely that's probably what caused my disc to rupture, because he said, you're torquing your back. Right after that, and I'm talking right after that, when I came back, that's when they supplied us with chairs that turn. That's when they came around and they did measurements for the table and everything else. So I still said that they knew that they were at fault there, but it was not registered as a compensation case. It was registered as a disability claim. One time I was sewing, okay, we work with, the hair cloth has horse hair in it. Which there's little black sliver of material of hair cloth that comes out. You know, you end up with it in your shirt, you know, and it stabs you. Well, I was working one time and I had gotten a piece of the horse hair in my eye. Went to Ronnie, who tried to wash it out. It wouldn't come out. She had me get in the car with her. I had to clock out, get in the car with her. She took me to Dr. Carroll's office. We went there. He took care of the eye for me. He patched it. He put ointment in it and told me not to return back to work until two more days. So I had to be out of work the next full day. I lost pay. They did not pay me for this. I left. I clocked out. I lost that time, which was probably around 11 o'clock. So I lost like 4 hours' pay and my whole next day's pay. The company told me right out, Ronnie's words were not paying you for this. And I told her, I said, I don't understand why. I just got injured on the job. The company refused to. I did not dispute it, though. I did not grieve it or anything, but they refused to pay me. About 12 years ago, my wrist had actually swollen right up to where I could not even pick the scissors up and open my hand. One of the union officers back then, who was Shelly Knapp, had to actually fill the paperwork out for me because I couldn't even close my fingers to use the pen. And the plant manager at the time was Shirley Ryersey. She looked at my wrist, and she even said to me in her own words, "Carmelo, that's a comp case. That looks terrible. You're going to have to go see a doctor." Well, they had told me I can go to my own doctor. They didn't have their doctor back then. They told me I can go to my doctor. My doctor was not handling comp cases, so I had to find another doctor who was. He, in turn, gave me a shot of cortisone into my wrist. I was out of work for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I returned back to work, but I had to go for physical therapy. And, you know, and there are times where it still hurts, you know, my wrist, especially when I'm working with the mesh because you got to pull harder. I right now cannot open a pop bottle. I carry a cup of coffee. I've been known to just spill it because I have no feeling in my hand, and actually the cup tipped. I could have went back within those 10 years because the claim was still open to have something done. But like I said, I do not want this put back on my record because if New Era does close, I don't want to be recognized as a comp case and then be blackballed from getting a decent job. We have what is on the back of our neck. We call it the New Era hump. When I stand in the mirror and I look sideways, I can see it. And I know it's from sitting with my head tilted forward to sew. There is no other way around sewing without your head down and forward, because you have to look at what you're sewing without sewing your finger. I was in my shower a couple weeks ago, and I know this is from working at New Era. I don't know how it happened. I was not moving the wrong way. All of a sudden, I felt a snap in my neck, and I actually heard it. I got real dizzy. The room got black, and from that point on, my sister-in-law, who was sitting next to me, Joyce Thomas, who works there as well, knows that every single day I go into work and I'm telling you, I am in pain. And I know it's from lifting the boxes up and popping them onto the conveyor belt because these boxes are quite heavy. So I have to use just the right side to swing these boxes up and throw them up over the belt. Now, I leave there every day with pain in my back because of the way I have to sit. I feel it's in my hip. My hands hurt really bad, and I don't go and file it, and I don't go and complain because of the mere fact that I don't want New Era to tell my next employer, if they do close, that this girl's a regular comp case. Because I know that employers do that. When they first brought the CWA, when it was first brought to our attention about the CWA, I disputed it. The union officers here can tell you how I verbally stood up and was against it. I fought with people that generally were my friends and actually lost friendships over it because I totally was against it, only because of the mere fact that I really thought that Mr. Cook was totally going to work better with an independent union. So at that point, I was feeling like in order to save my job, the best thing for us was to keep an independent union. Now that I look back, was actually based on fear. Because he did tell us, these were his exact words, being Mr. Cook, if I tell you no to something, what makes you think I'm going to tell them yes? Once I started seeing this become a corporation and not a small family-owned business, I seen how we were being, you know, just stripped, totally stripped, how they wanted to rape us, you know, of everything that we've worked so hard for. We had given a cost of living adjustment. We gave that up for 5 years. Now, mind you, not only did we give that up, I lost money. So now I see this company now becoming this big corporation, and I feel we needed these big guns. We needed this international union to come in and help fight for us. Because I really honestly feel without them right now, we would be working for $6.50 an hour. They would be walking all over us. I was in negotiations. I sat in on them. I did witness how the company feels about us employees. I witnessed Bob Doran, the company lawyer. The subject was brought up on sick days. The question was asked by Hunter Phillips. Do you ever get sick? Because at that point they wanted to take all the sick days away. His reply was, no, I never get sick. And there are people working there that have children, you know, school-age children, infants. We have single women working there trying to support their family. You know, these sick days are there for in case you really need it. The only way I would ever see myself staying there as a lifer is if New Era decided to join hands with the CWA, work together, and figure out something to make these employees happy. I'm sorry, but if you don't feel appreciated, how can you sow with the heart and soul? How can you give so with passion and want to do for them if they keep stomping on you? I totally feel like I don't care about myself anymore. I don't care about my life. I don't care about anything anymore because of what is happening at New Era. I feel like I am not the person I used to be. I used to be full of confidence, full of self-esteem. You know, I loved life. I loved getting up, going to my job, and that's a big part of my day. But all of a sudden, I feel like I don't have that. I can't deal with this anymore. I literally cannot deal with the stress. I cannot deal with how I feel. I'm a very happy-go-lucky person. I was a very self-confident person. You know, I don't feel like I have that anymore. I feel like I'm robbed of it because I feel like no matter what I say, no matter what I do, as far as New Era is concerned and my livelihood, it doesn't matter. They don't care. They don't care that I'm a person with a voice. They don't care that I'm a person with feeling. They don't care that I'm a person that has a family. I actually feel like they are out for the almighty dollar and the hell with me. They want to slice my throat, suck all the blood out of me so that they can get richer. And I feel it is corporate greed. You know, I feel like they are just taking from me. And they don't realize not only they've taken money, if this is what they want, they're taking any self-esteem, any self-confidence that we have as far as, you know, our livelihood, what we feel, what we can give to them. They're taking it.
I'm Debbie Shattuck. I'm 46 years old, and I've been working at New Era for 7.5 years. And I was just recently laid off about 3 weeks ago. I was a labeler. I put the label or sold the labels down on the caps. You're lifting caps out of boxes, and we have like a mesh line, and they fit in there real tight. You're pulling on them, and with the label job, we have to take the labels. We have to put the sweat together. So we flip the sweat up, sew that down, and then with the labels, using like the first 3 fingers, and you're constantly flipping them over. So you've got constant finger movement with both hands and wrist movement. I have carpal tunnel, I have tendonitis, and I think it's like golfer's elbow. I also have a lump that popped out from trying to pull caps out of the boxes, and they still don't know what that is. I went in one time when I felt something snap in my wrist, and I reported it. And I was told, oh, you just pulled a tendon, go, you'll be all right. And that was the end of that. And not knowing any better, I didn't push the issue. I've seen it going from sitting there with water dripping on top of my machine and being told by mechanics to sit there and work on it. You know, and I didn't know my rights. I never really worked in a factory except for New Era. I was a nurse's aide before that, and like an idiot, I'm sitting there, and the water's coming down on my machine like you turned a faucet on. Finally, I said, you know what? If they fire me, they fire me. And I looked at him and said, I'm not working on this machine. This is a high-powered sewing machine that we're working on, and I'm not going to sit there with water coming down on it. I mean, you've got electricity running through all these machines, and you're all on top of one another. I have to look for another job. I'm not sure what I can do. I want to try to take some courses to try to maybe find something in maybe a doctor's office and that type of line, you know, like, you know, taking making appointments or whatever. Physically, I was told I can't lift anything over 10 pounds, so I can't actually go back into being a nurse's aide again with the lifting. Because if I do the lifting, I'm going to do more damage to myself again. I don't know what's going to happen with work. I'm going to find a job somewhere. Like I said, even if I have to go scrub toilets, maybe at least I'll get some respect out of that and have some self-pride, because I know I'm not helping this company to deceive the American people or hurt my employees. There's been many a days that I sat there and I backed off and did just the bare necessities so that my partner or the girl with me on my job would have work to try to make her numbers so she wouldn't lose money. And that's the way it should be in America. One hand helping the other, not just gimme, gimme, gimme. And that's what I'm looking for. If nothing else, I want a job where one hand is holding the other or helping the other person, not just I'm for me and the heck with you type of job. We had an independent in-house union before the CWA was brought in. It got to the point where we needed an international union. I was kind of against the CWA coming in. Until the one day, David called us all into the cafeteria for a meeting, and he wanted to talk about the CWA. He didn't come out and say the CWA, but I have a letter that he passed around, more or less saying that we don't need the CWA in the plant. He stood up in front of us all and said, well, I've heard rumors that people are saying they're going to close the plant if the CWA comes in. He says, even if I did, I have enough money for my children, my grandchildren's children. He more or less come out and said that he didn't want the CWA in. He come out and said, they're not going to do nothing for you. They're just going to be paying more dues. Basically, that's what started when the union tried to get in. Deep down in my heart, like an instinct, it just said, something's not right here. We're there just to put their money in their pocket. They're not thinking of the workers and how we feel. They're thinking of the almighty dollar and that's it. And not what effect it has on us, our families, or anybody else. They don't care. They'd already told us right out. They have enough money for all these generations. We had David Cook stand up one time when he was saying about bringing in all these changes into the plant. And he said, well, if you don't like it, too bad. And he says, I'm not your savior. I still do take pride that I was a part of the Major League Baseball Caps. But even as a child, and I'm 46 years old, we were taught baseball is America's pastime. With this bit with the logo, with that, to me, the company's exploiting the flag. My kids see me coming home. There's enough of us that these kids are not stupid. They know what's going on. I'm sure other parents are coming home all upset about how things are going there and the way we're being treated. Then we're supposed to instill, like I said, the love of our country. And even when it comes down like teamwork, with New Era, they boast about teamwork. Where's the teamwork? We're trying to work as a team, but all we're doing is being exploited. There's enough problems in life without corporate greed and exploiting people. And they're demoralizing our kids. They think our kids are stupid, that they don't realize this stuff. I mean, there's been enough commercials going on about what's going on at New Era. I mean, the word's getting out. And then they're putting these logos on and trying to say, oh, it's made here in America. The New Era flag is designed after the American flag. To me, they're degrading our country and our vets, and that is one of my biggest complaints, and I'm letting these people know. I have written to Washington. You name it, I've written it to them. Like I said, I know that the American Legion has pulled their New Era caps out of their sales catalogs. What they did is with the American flag, they took where the stars normally go, and they put an N in there. They said, when you see that flag, you can know that, quote, it's made with pride in America. It's not always made in America. And then it says, proud to play. They have a big flag with the New Era logo right under the American flag in front of the pole and the plant. And on that flag, it says, proud to play. Well, I'm sorry. Proud to play with who? What do they want? They're telling us, oh, it's all American made. You know, and we're a team. We have home pride. They don't have home pride in us. Or they wouldn't be doing this stuff that they're doing to us.
On our way home from the United Students Against Sweatshops conference held in Chicago during the first week of August, the United Students Against Sweatshops organizer spoke with me.
My name is Trina Toko. I go to Western Michigan University. I will be a junior in the fall. I was one of the participants on the delegation that USAF took to see the factory in Durban, New York, that New Era produces at. And I am also the outgoing Midwest regional organizer. USAC was approached by CWA, Communication Workers of America International, and was asked if there was any way that they could be part of a delegation to investigate and interview workers. And the goal of this was to produce a report that CWA and students could use when talking about the New Era Cap Corporation situation. Colleges and universities have a major stake in what is going on because New Era produces to them. Our major concerns were, number one, the number of injuries that workers had in the factory. There's overwhelming amount of injuries that workers had because they had been working in this facility for, you know, 20 years or so. And so they've accumulated repetitive motion injuries. And we are concerned because the corporation didn't seem to be taking this issue very seriously. We are also pretty concerned about stark differences between the Buffalo factory and the Derby factory. And it just so happens that the Buffalo factory is the one that has the immigrant workforce there. So just paying close attention to how they treat their diversified workforce. And we're also concerned because they exemplify the race to the bottom, and they perfectly show what happens when a corporation wants to exceed profits and how they go about doing that, which is, you know, to move production facilities to cheaper and cheaper labor, and therefore creating more profit. At our conference, we brought a worker to the conference right from the local. That way students could see that this was, you know, a real situation. We had the worker talk to lots of students about the conditions that are affecting her directly. We are also working with the international to make sure that what they're doing is something that students can also get involved in. We're also looking forward to the WRC report being released next week. We're pretty much sure that New Era is doing all of these different types of activities to bust the union. So I think New Era just needs to simply accept that unionism is part of American culture and part of, you know, the world culture, and that it's legal and it's just part of workers trying to stand up for their rights.
Jason Kozlowski is CWA Local 14177 secretary. I spoke with him on August 3rd about why the strike was called and how it was going.
My name is Jason Kozlowski, and I'm the Secretary of Communication Workers of America, Local 14177. We represent about 377 workers at New Era Cap Company, and since July 16th, we have been out on strike. New Era had put it to us that they felt that their final offer would pass a vote, and so had asked us to put it to a vote, feeling that they'd gone as far as they can go in negotiations, which was not, frankly, not a good offer for the workforce. And we had a vote on that on April 21st, and it was rejected by a vote of 238-10, so it was overwhelmingly rejected. You're looking at demanding concessions nearly across the board. As of June 2nd, they had imposed the contract, New Era did, on us, declaring an impasse. We felt that that was premature and that we had had several other outstanding issues to discuss. July 16th, which was our strike date, was when the wage structure was to go into effect, and it was something which would have impacted our employees with wage losses anywhere from 7 cents to $7 an hour, which was just not acceptable by any stretch. We didn't feel that we should have needed to work 1 minute under that system. I think in our dealings with New Era, we've had to weather a consistent anti-union barrage since we affiliated with New Era 4 years ago. So for people to finally go out on strike was a real release of a lot of people's energies and creativity, and people have maintained a strong and solid and consistent picket line throughout. This is really the conclusion of our third week on strike. And people have been excellent. We did have about 50 union members sign themselves out of the union and scab, which was very disappointing, but not surprising because these were people that we felt had been pretty much in the company's pocket all along and had been aiding and abetting the company's cause all along, including trying to advocated disaffiliation from CWA last October, which we defeated with a vote of 290-77. And people have been great on the picket line. People have been extremely energetic but very disciplined. And I think have behaved quite well in light of the fact that you have people scabbing and the heat has been pretty difficult here over the summer so far, and that people have had to endure so much already. I think people have borne the pressure very well and shown not only New Era, but the local community and the local labor community in Western New York that we were ready to conduct a strike and are sticking by our guns, and that we simply are unwilling to work for anything less than a fair first contract. There were several different incidents, mostly in the first few days of the strike, in which vehicles driven by scabs or by relatives of scabs crossed the picket line in order to bring the scabs into work. And what we had done was to make every effort to get these vehicles off the road in order not to obstruct traffic, because it is a busy four-lane highway on Route 5. And yet, I still exercised our rights to continue to picket and keep moving. Now, there's 20 feet of space from the line of the road to the company's property line on the parking lot side. So there really, in our eyes, was no reason for there to be any sort of contact between any strikers and the vehicles. And that included on our end, and we stuck to that. It isn't like these vehicles have needed to come in and have had bricks thrown through their windows, or windows smashed, or people harmed, or struck, or cars banged on. It's been nothing like that. So we felt in turn that that was the least they could have done, was to essentially have been patient. One incident involved a Vietnamese man by the name of Tin Mai, who's been an employee for about 3 years, and he had tried to stop, had almost come to a stop, when he noticed his car had come into the parking lot driven by a scab. Woman by the name of Virginia Weber, who had pulled into the parking lot, not slowed down too much, and had struck him in the knee and two others. He had to be taken to the hospital and just had a contusion, which within a week was okay. But you're looking at this doing nothing but ratcheting up the tensions of a situation which was already tense. And there were several other incidents. Frankly, if the strikers had committed these sorts of things, I think it would cast a very poor light on us. And yet, little attention has been paid to that element of the strike. People have behaved with a lot of discipline and not responded to these sorts of things, which we feel has been much to our favor. And, I think is a good indication of how the strike can be conducted. Many businesses have refused to cross the picket line in order to cater to the scabs and also to the management and non-union office personnel. A couple, unfortunately, have delivered to New Era, or at least to allow New Era to come and pick up from them, which has rankled strikers, because one restaurant in particular had a commitment not to serve New Era during the course of the strike, and so people have responded by not going to the restaurant. But by and large, the support has been excellent, especially among people who drive by all the time, who are constantly honking their horns. The local people have really supported the strike, and we appreciate it. The people have been absolutely great. A lot of people in the heat have dropped off water, delivered pizzas, dropped off food, come by to walk with us and picket with us and talk. People within the union have made friends among people with whom they'd never had the opportunity to speak while actually working and in the plant, because people are, by and large, just having their nose to the grindstone and working, and to actually have the freedom to walk and to communicate on the picket line in a different and very meaningful way has just been excellent for people. And it's provided something for people which we simply wouldn't have had the opportunity otherwise to do. There will probably be a great increase in activity and attention to the strike when students return to school for the fall semester. United Students Against Sweatshops then pretty heavily involved with other organizations in investigating different elements of the strike, including the Workers' Rights Consortium, Jobs with Justice, many local labor organizations, a local organization which is a peace and labor organization which has been extremely prominent is the Coalition for Economic Justice. The AFL-CIO, for one, the AFL-CIO approved of a national boycott of New Era Cap products. New Era Cap Company is a very successful family-owned company based in Derby, New York, which has been there for over 80 years and has had a lot of financial success because of workforces like ours, which are very productive. For them to conduct themselves in the manner in which they have by trying to cut and run from a workforce and to make people suffer physically and financially in a small town in which so many people rely on jobs at this place and are modestly remunerated as it is very reprehensible, and everybody knows it. The town has been very supportive of the strike effort, and they know that you look at a company like New Era, which pays no local taxes, which has complained about needing to pay, being forced to pay $80 million to Major League Baseball over 5 years for the exclusive rights to produce on-the-field caps and for playoff merchandise, and then to expect to take that sort of financial commitment, which results in preferential advertising for them, to make the workers pay for that sort of thing, and then some. And if people don't adhere to this, then they face the risk of losing their jobs and to have work transferred to Alabama and to rely more heavily on outsourcing, like New Era is doing, is a disgrace. People simply will not stand for it. I'm very proud to have been involved in the effort where people have, I believe, and by people's own admission in the place, done the most meaningful thing they've ever done at New Era, and that's to essentially stand up for themselves and say that they will not accept New Era's union busting. I'm just very proud of the people who have been involved in this strike, and I'm proud to have been a part of it. It's been a very good group effort. And, I believe we're going to be on strike for a while, but that we're capable of weathering this and letting New Era know that their business is going to have to suffer as long as their behavior is just so bad. That's going to extend to colleges, and it's going to extend to more attention on Major League and their Major League Baseball contract and to golf. If this is the way it's going to have to be, then we're very prepared for that. What I think you see is it's just a general attempt on the part of corporate America to just roll rights back, just very basic, decent human rights of workers, of the rights to organize, of the rights to bargain collectively, of the rights with an intangible level, or at least non-economic, of the rights of people to have the time to do some things other than to simply work their heads off and then to not have the energy to spend the time with family and friends that they otherwise would have. It's just a deprivation of the ability to maintain a meaningful way of life. And as sad as it is here, it's far worse than a lot of these other places, including where companies like New Era do business.
You might want to have a pen handy in a couple minutes. There'll be some contact information for organizations involved in the struggle of CWA Local 14177. The delegation of United Students Against Sweatshop Affiliates released a report titled Money Made, Workers Forgotten, The Untold Stories of the Global Race to the Bottom in Western New York. In the conclusion, we stated, a sweatshop employer is one that has abused its workers, left them with irreparable injuries, refused to justly compensate them, threatened their union and their livelihood, and in the end, is executing its threat. Every one of the named conditions is common among the sweatshops and the maquiladoras, and everyone is present with these New Era workers here in Western New York. It should be said, however, that the testimonies we've heard this past weekend reflect a community with a deep sense of pride in their work and a tremendous commitment to the well-being of the company they have helped build over the course of generations. Ultimately, we did not see New Era making the same commitment to the well-being of its workforce in return. Essentially, it is our belief that New Era is violating the principles that our universities have set as necessary to retain their production with the manufacture of collegiate logo apparel. Until New Era can prove that it is respecting workers' rights at its factories in Western New York, Alabama, Bangladesh, and elsewhere, we call on students to make New Era CEO Chris Cook a target of their protests and for university presidents to reevaluate their relationship with New Era. We, as students at universities that purchase New Era caps, want the company to be a model to our other licensees by raising workplace safety standards, paying a living wage, and honoring workers' freedom of association. To obtain a copy of the report, visit United Students Against Sweatshops webpage at www.usasnet.org. The Workers' Rights Consortium webpage can be found at www.workersrights.org. Communication Workers of America has a website at www.cwa-union.org. And CWA Local 14177's webpage is located at http://hometown.aol.com/CWA14177local/my-homepage/index.html. Letters of support can be sent to the local at local14177cwa@aol.com. If you'd like to voice your opinion on New Era's treatment of the people providing it with labor and profit, you can call their headquarters at 716-549-0445 or fax them at 716-549-5424. For more information about Open Ear Audio, or to send any comments or suggestions, please email openearaudio@yahoo.com. This program can be found at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radioforall.net. Thanks for listening. Here's Joyce Thomas, a member of CWA Local 14177.
My name's Joyce Thomas, and I've been there for almost 14 years. I sew the logo on the front of the hat, the back, and the sides. And you glue these hats down on a piece of paper, and then the machine sews the logo on there. I've got carpal tunnel, tendonitis. I tore a muscle in my lower part of my back, and I was also told that I didn't need to go to a doctor. I live with what I have. My hands will swell up. My elbow will hurt now and then, but I live with it because I'm not going through surgery. You know, I've had enough. I don't want any more. There's not enough work coming through. We have to fight with other people in our station. It has to do their money, too. I've always enjoyed working there, and I always have, and I probably always will if we keep it open. Things I would like to see change would be employee management relationship. All I want is a plate. I'm not asking for that silver platter that they want. They eat off of. I don't. I want a paper plate. That's enough for me. You know, I want to make a living for my family. 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 Living.